Start the show.
Two bears, one cave. Making it hot and looking good. He's Bert Kreischer. I'm Tom Segura.
Let's just put the pedal to the metal and go. This is a perfect way to start off this show. 12 years in the making. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Everyone's gonna hate us.
100%.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's definitely a thing a lot of people don't understand, that Sikhs aren't Arab. And that's like here's the thing. It's disrespectful.
Do you think of these in the shower?
No, just in like the moment before I say them. In response to what you've said.
Dude, there was... There was a time in life where, you know, you ever learn one thing about a culture and then that's your go-to for everything?
Of course.
I learned about what a Sikh Indian was.
What was it?
It was the only thing I knew that was Indian.
Oh.
And so everyone I ever met are like, are you Sikh? And they're like, you just learned about Sikhs, didn't you? I was like, uh-huh, you got that right.
Do you remember when you learned?
New York.
So you were?
25, 26. Dude, I had a joke in my act, which was 100% true. I didn't know that Japanese people couldn't understand Chinese people. Like, remember that? I used to have that in my act.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's not even a joke. It's all stemmed from Dr. Ken. Dr. Ken and I were...
The joke was Japanese and Korean.
No, Japanese. No, it gets to Japanese and Korean.
Oh, but it starts...
Because Dr. Ken. I switched it to Steve Byrne because I didn't want to say Dr. Ken because it felt like I was being, like, name-dropping because he was famous when I was doing the joke.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is, Dr. Ken and I were at the Ontario Improv. And we were in the back hallway, and there was a Japanese couple trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And I tapped Dr. Ken, and I go, I think your parents are trying to come backstage. And he looked out, and he goes, those aren't my parents. It was just a Japanese older couple. And I go, are you sure? And he goes, I'm certain. And I go, well, what are they saying? He goes, I don't fucking know. And I said... Oh, you never learned your language around the house? And he was like, no, they're Japanese. And I went, you're not? And he goes, no, I'm Korean. And I went, oh. He was like, you couldn't tell they're Japanese? And then I said to him, no, because they didn't have Rising Sun bandanas on. And I said, well, kind of, what are they saying? And he goes, are you being serious right now? I go, yeah, can't you understand a little bit? And he was like, I can't understand any
Zero.
Japanese.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're not the same language? And he was like, no, that's why it's called Korean and Japanese. And I was like, I just didn't know because I didn't know any. You didn't know anyone Asian and growing up in Florida.
What are you talking about?
Like, you didn't, like, growing up in Florida, you didn't know a lot of Asian people.
I had Asian friends in school.
Oh, what was his name?
Steve No.
Okay, that was quick.
Yeah.
I didn't have one.
Yeah.
I didn't know any Asian kids. I knew Sam Ho. Sam Ho and Rhonda Ho.
There you go.
Yeah, they went to grade school with me, and he threw up in his lunchbox. So I'll always remember Sam Ho throwing up his lunchbox in second grade and being like, I literally stood up and I was like, I'm fucking out of here. Second grade, walked outside.
I knew the Lambs too. And I knew
the Lambs.
Yeah. And then, when there were also Kims. So
wait, how many Asian friends did you have? Did you have multicultural friends growing up? Let's make this episode about Tom. I'm here to listen.
I moved a lot, remember?
So okay, let's do pop quiz Tom, okay?
Okay, okay.
Okay? I'm going to say a thing, and you just say their names, okay? Black friend in high school.
R. Daryl.
Wow, that's
and a... Rocky and Jay.
You had three black friends?
Yeah, we played football together.
Oh, not like, did you ever spend the night at their house?
Yeah. No, really? We all did. We all hung out. Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
And more white people, or you were the only one? You're like Eminem and 8 Mile.
No, there was a mix, you know? It was mixed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Latino friends?
I mean, yeah, the Casanovas, and I'm trying to think of, there weren't that many Latin kids in my school. I mean.
But you had Asian kids, black kids. You were like, your school was like Tokyo Drift.
A little bit. A little bit. No, there wasn't that many Asians either.
Really?
But the white kids sucked in the Florida school. I didn't really, you know, I only hung out with a few of them. Oh, I'm thinking of Ortega too, Cuban. So there's you know, a bunch of
Cubans. You had multicultural friends growing up?
Yeah, the biggest reason was sports, right? Because that was my friend group, especially because I was moving. So
let's start all over. You were born in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And your dad was ex-military, running a bakery. What was your dad? He's always a financial planner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he leaves Vietnam.
Okay.
He leaves Vietnam, goes down.
He fought in Vietnam.
He fought in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Goes AWOL, goes down to Peru.
No, doesn't go AWOL.
How did he meet your mom?
My dad's best friend married my mom's sister.
Oh, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah, and then they were doing a gangbang in like 75.
Are they still all friends? Oh, but it's their mom's sister.
Yeah.
Of course they're still friends.
Yeah, they're still close.
Really?
My mom and her sister speak pretty much every day.
And do you know is that your cousin?
Yeah.
That's the guy. That's your cousin?
That's the one.
Shut the fuck up.
So Brian that made McMillions on HBO, he and I were born 2 weeks apart next door to each other in, same year. And it's his mom and my mom.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Man, I am the worst friend. I don't listen to anybody.
Oh, I know.
I am so bad.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's astounding.
You asked me how many sisters I had 2 weeks ago.
Two?
Yeah.
I remembered.
Yeah.
Cha-Cha and Elizabeth.
Cha-Cha and Elizabeth.
So wait, that's crazy. How long did you live in Cincinnati for?
9 years.
So then you moved to Florida?
No, then we moved to Minneapolis.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I never knew you lived in Minneapolis.
I've mentioned it a number of times.
You've never said it once.
100 times.
Never once did you say I was a huge Vikings fan when I was 10.
I used to go to Vikings games.
No, you didn't.
I went to Chris Dolman's football camp. I went to Rich Gannon's football camp.
You went to Rich Gannon's football camp?
Yeah.
Rich Gannon was a fucking legit. I think his brother played for the Bucs.
Chris Dolman, rest in peace. He just died.
Really?
Yeah, a little while ago, a few months ago.
So wait, what position did you want to play when you were a kid?
Oh, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a wide receiver, like Jerry Rice, Steve Largent. Those were the guys. But
and then they're like, hey, Tank, get over in the fucking offensive line.
No, then I was obsessed with Lawrence Taylor. And then
oh, you have that mentality totally.
Yeah, I wanted to be
100%. You did. I can
and he
totally
was like
see that.
This psycho. And they had the NFL films tapes where he was like talking shit, and
those were the best.
Oh man, I was just like, yeah, I was super excited.
Did you talk shit during football when you played football?
Not really. One time my coach told me to. I was like, what? And he was like, he's like, get in his fucking ear, talk shit. And I was like, all right. I was like, I'm out of breath. It's kind of hard.
Cool. Enough about you. Anyway, my one time. No, we're going back to Tom. But you know, I can't not tell a story about myself.
Of course.
Seventh grade.
Yes.
Seventh grade, I play football. My parents don't want me to play football.
Mm-hmm.
I play football for the first time. First game.
By the way, I was hospitalized in fifth grade, and my dad had me go to practice the next week.
Wait, what did you get hospitalized in fifth grade? Did you play not tater tot, but what do they call it?
Pee-wee?
Pee-wee football?
Yeah. Full pads.
Oh,
you
my
know.
Dad never let me
Dude,
play that.
I had a back injury in... I'm 10 years old, and he was like, practice on Monday, out of the hospital.
No fucking way. What was your back injury?
The term is, I think, spondylolisthesis of the third degree of the fifth lumbar. It's basically a disc kind of pops out. It was not a fucking chill injury.
I just watched a documentary on Barry Sanders, This Football Life, on Barry Sanders.
Those are great.
And Barry Sanders' dad said, which is an interesting thing, I just had a... did a podcast with this therapist about, and we ended up talking about my dad, but he said, my dad had said this when I was a kid, I'm not your friend, I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, and I remember I remember seeing parents that were friends,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, yeah, you guys can drink around here. That was not my parents. I'm not your parent, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
Like I'm here to raise you, to be a man. I'm not here to just be like buddy boy, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that was your dad, definitely, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he wasn't like, he's a bigger hard ass on paper. Like if you read the resume, you're like, this guy seems
Vietnam
like,
War. That's all I think about.
Yeah,
that's all I was thinking about, taking a shit today when I was like, I'm gonna listen today.
Yeah, That Vietnam stuff. Yeah, if you hear the Vietnam stories and like his...
Well, we just watched Platoon with the girls the other day.
Yeah.
And they're like, did this really happen? And I was like, 100%. And they're like, hold on, people were really in, like, they've watched a bunch of war movies now, and so they thought everything was like 1917.
Mm.
That there were big trenches, you were with your team. Then they're looking at foxholes going like, that really happened, like in the middle of the night they just charged? And I was like, oh, Vietnam was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. All the stories are pretty horrible, man. They're like a dude next to you stepping on a mine and like his legs and stomach just blowing open. And also, he told me recently, and I never knew this growing up, he told me that he thinks about those people every day. I think I've mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Told me that, I was like, fuck, really? He was like, yeah, every day. I was like, ugh, Jesus. Like, I never realized the trauma of it.
You know? Okay, so think about this. I said this to Leanne the other day. If you had to be in the one most swing generation ever, the generation that's seen the most, meaning like I looked at Georgia and Ireland, I thought they will have very little change in their lives. Like, they were born with cell phones. Cell phones will always be there.
Yeah.
Like, they will never know. I was lucky enough. It started with me saying I was lucky enough that I got like 13 years of just walk out the front door and disappear for the entire day.
But we can't, like, that's the thing is, every time, whatever the most modern time you live in, like when you're living, you can't imagine the progression 10 years ahead of you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you think that, well, it's just so modern now. But the truth is, 10 and 20 years from now, this will seem like a super...
No, but like, okay, but go back. Like, if you, like, no one would want to be born in the 1800s because there was no progress. You were born a farmer, you died a farmer. Mm-hmm. You only knew, like, you were born one way and you only knew one thing. All the way up to like the, I guess you wouldn't even want to be born in like 1870 because you never saw change.
Well,
if you were born in like 19...
If you were born 1870, you would see change for sure.
No, you only live to like be 35 for one.
Well, you could, some people were born then that would live longer. You were kind of growing into the industrial age, changing, you know?
A little bit, yeah, but like I was saying, I remember Leanne's grandfather, I got to talk to him before he died a bunch of times, but I said to him, what was it like? What was the one thing you remember the most out of your childhood?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was hot watermelons.
Hot watermelons?
He's like, man, there's nothing better than a hot watermelon.
That sounds horrible.
I know. That's what I said. So you break it over your knee.
Let me guess for you. You wish you were born Berlin, 1925, just in time ride that wave.
No, but I wouldn't mind it being... I wouldn't mind getting a taste of the real old school white privilege, like the uncut white privilege. I wouldn't mind getting a taste of the 1950s, like, cocktail in hand, go to a meeting.
Oh, right.
Like that old school white privilege.
And you would have no skill for the job they gave
none.
You. None. And feel completely entitled to it and call your secretary toots and
smack her on the ass.
Yeah. No, you would have been the documentary was made about. They'd be like, look at this piece of shit from the 50s.
I wouldn't mind just one snort of the old uncut white privilege.
Mm, yeah.
Just fucking drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Fucking.
A cop pulls you over. You're like, Sam, what's up, bud?
He's like, oh, it's you again, Kreischer. God damn it. You got a cigarette? And I go, lucky. Here you go. I wouldn't mind a little taste of that.
Yeah. No, you've said it a few times now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little sniff of that. Be cool. They should do one day of just remembrance of like, they're like, hey, you can live in any time period you want today.
You could probably propose this to write your congressman or something.
They should do this during the quarantine. One day, for like 1 week, we pick a different day.
Dude, those Mad Men era guys. Oh my God. Like
they had no fucking rules.
They just would drink at lunch. I can't do that. I actually really can't do that.
What do you mean?
Meaning I can, but I just get a fucking wasted for the day.
Yeah.
Like I'm not usable again. I can't just go and have a martini at lunch.
I was really honestly taken aback by how well you held it together. That time we went to San Francisco for the game.
Yeah.
And you were drinking all morning, and I was like, I'm going to go take a nap. And you're like, all right, I'll see you down. I mean, you'd had I don't know. A dozen drinks. And you were like, the thing is, you were not fucked up. You didn't seem like it.
No.
And then we went to the game and then we had dinner and then we got back. And I was like, oh, now I'm definitely going to crash. And you're like, well, now the night's starting.
And,
like,
and then we went out and had a cigar.
Yeah, but you were fine.
Yeah, I guess maybe I could do that. No, I think
you could.
I think I shot myself short. Yeah, I miss alcohol.
Wait, back to seventh grade football. You said you're playing football in seventh grade?
Oh, I was playing seventh grade football. And my dad did not want me playing. Like, he really was against it entirely.
He thought you were going to get hurt?
Thought I was going to get hurt, neck injury, paralyzed immediately.
Jesus, really?
Immediately. I have fought with him to play, and I was middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I play, like, two plays. They put me in, like, halfway through the game. And I first play, I fucking literally grab a guy before he gets through the line, fucking level him. But it was an accident. Like, I didn't mean to level him. I kind of was not looking.
You accidentally leveled him?
But it looked like I leveled him, but yeah. I really ran into him.
Uh-huh.
Like, and so, but he went fucking down, mm-hmm. and I was out of it. Like, I was like, huh? And they're like, good way to fuck him up. And I was like, two plays after that, interception, run it back to the 1 yard line. And all of a sudden, I'm the best football player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm right here. And they're like, you're starting every game. You're in, like, and I sucked so bad. And then I got a neck injury.
You did?
I got a neck injury during practice. And they had to tape my head to the goalpost.
Yeah.
To, like, let it sit still because it hurt anywhere I moved it. And so
then,
I sat there.
Then you were done.
And then I was fucking, and then I played eighth grade and I did not play as good. I started, but I didn't play as good as I did in seventh, that one game.
Dude, in eighth grade, I was involved in a play where three of us broke a guy's leg.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Ow. We just all, it was just perfect. We all, three of us hit the quarterback at like the same time.
Oh my God.
Like this from different angles. Boom, boom. And it was like three pretty big kids, you know, like pretty strong kids. And
yeah.
We just heard this fucking horrific sound and scream. And then you just saw the leg was clearly broken.
Oh my God. Were you this size when you were in seventh grade?
No. But I mean, I was.
You seem like a guy who would have grown up early.
I did. I was like shaving pretty early. But the joy that the three of us felt for hurting that kid so badly is something that I still carry with me, you know?
Did you ever hear Patrice O'Neal's?
Didn't he play college football?
I don't think he went to college per se.
I thought he did. I don't think so. I thought I read that once. Can you look it up?
Look it up. I think he went to prison.
Well, one of us is going to feel stupid in a moment.
He definitely went to prison. I know that.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah.
College football games and bowl games. Yeah. He died at 41.
Is that all he was?
Oh, my God, dude. That's like you dying tomorrow.
Yeah. I turn 41 tomorrow.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Tomorrow's my birthday. I turn 41.
No, you're lying.
I swear to God.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I turn 41 tomorrow.
What are you doing for your birthday?
Oh, partying. O'Neal never knew his father. He attended walks, da, da, da. He ended up playing his career with three varsity letters and winning a state championship his senior year. After graduating, he turned down a scholarship
for prison
at Northeastern in Boston, which included a grant, theater, his comedy, grown, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Where's the prison stuff you're
talking about? Wait. I don't know. I'm sure it's not in his Wikipedia.
Why would it not be there? They always put that there.
I don't know. Keep Googling it. He went to prison for sexual assault.
That's not showing up on the Wiki.
Yeah, I know. It's not something I think that he wanted ever brought up, really. And I think it was something he was scared of. Well, he talked about it on Opie and Anthony.
He did?
It's not a secret. Yeah, okay, definitely not a secret. He talked about it on Opie and Anthony. It was something he was always afraid that if he got successful, it was something they'd dig up on him. And I won't even talk about it because I don't think, I know he had his version of it and I'm sure she had her version of it. So, but he ultimately went to jail and it fucked his friend up that went to jail with him. It fucked him up for the rest of his life because he stopped showering and they pulled him aside. I forget what they called him. They called him Big Baby or something in prison. They everyone had a name of the state. I listened to it a couple times. I listened to it live. I was driving on the street.
Listen to what live?
Patrice tell the story live on Opie and Anthony.
Hmm.
And, but yeah. And so are you looking for the,
Yeah, I'm not seeing any of the prison stuff.
What if you just Google it?
Just type in Patrice, I guess, rape. But
no,
no, I think that's what he went to jail for.
Jesus, man.
Statutory rape. Yeah.
All right.
Served 60 days in prison.
For having sex with an underage girl. Oh, she was 15, he was 16? Because Massachusetts lacks a close in age exception. That is fucking...
Well, I think it was. I think it was. It was a little more complicated. I mean, I'll tell you the. I'm. For me to parrot the story isn't even fair. I think to everyone involved, but it sounded like a bad situation. Of his advice was, if you do your dirt, keep it to yourself. Don't spread it. Because I guess they did it and they talked about it, and her brother frowned out, and her brother, and so it,
but
it got.
I'm just saying though, when it's 16 with it, that's not why those laws are written.
I think no, but I think, you know, it was more guys than girls, meaning it was one girl and like three guys. Oh. And so it I think it put her in a bad situation, and she claimed something. Look, I'm not even the right person to be talking about any of this, but
yeah,
but it's stuff I've heard, and it's okay. Out there, so it's all really right. Kind of, yeah, that really turned it to a, he did not play college football,
but I wasn't that far. He was offered a scholarship. I mean,
yeah, but why would he turn it down?
I don't know. But I mean,
Northeastern's a pretty good school in Boston.
And I'm just saying that, like, it wasn't a crazy assumption I made, right? He was a
state
champion in high school and got an offer to a full ride.
He used to tell the story. I used to love the stories.
He was enormous.
Oh, he was a big dude.
Yeah,
he was a big fucking dude.
Yeah.
I used to love the stories he'd tell that he never told on stage, that he'd just tell.
Mm-hmm.
That you go, like, he used to tell the story about this guy Tony in his neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
who was cool as shit, and he's like, man, I'd watch Tony, and Tony would just go up and just tap a bitch on the back of the neck and go, damn, got you. They'd be like, oh, Tony. And he's like, I'd be like on the side going, all right, you gotta hit a bitch. So I just go up. I didn't look at the way Tony had his hand, and I got my closed fist, and I'm just like, pow, bitch. And he would tell the funniest stories.
Yeah,
you could tell he was kind of trying to work out to maybe take on stage. Now that I know, at the time he was 41 when he passed, I guess. Jesus. He was probably 30 years old when he was telling me this. He's still a very young comic.
It is crazy how there's some people who you always imagine them a different, like, for some, you know, I always picture.
How old was Hedberg when he died?
I always picture Patrice like 20 years older than me, you know?
Oh, I felt like he was so older than. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're like, do you remember when Patrice said to someone, oh, I was talking to Ari, and he goes, do you remember when fucking Hedberg was 37?
And Geraldo was 44.
I started working for Travel Channel when I was 37. Geraldo was 44. That makes sense. Bill Hicks was 32.
George, fuck.
Bill Hicks was 32. That is so fucking young to be losing
your
hair.
How much work did Hedberg put out? Can you go to his, like, go to his Wikipedia? Scroll down. Click his Wikipedia there. And go to his discography. Yeah, yeah. So,
Los Enchiladas was a movie.
Yeah, that's wild. It's only, what, four albums?
Is that all he put out?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a legacy for four albums, right?
Oh, I played it for the girls, and Isla loved it. Georgia did not.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's totally Isla's lane. That might be her favorite comic ever if she dials in, you know what I mean? Dives yeah. into it.
The girls right now are obsessed with D'Elia.
Yeah?
They're like, there's no way you know him. I was like, I was on fucking Netflix 2 weeks ago, girls. What the fuck? You don't think I know him? And like, there's people you don't know. You don't know John Mulaney. I go, no, I do. I don't know him, but if I saw him, I'd say hi. And they go, yeah, you don't know him, Dad. I go, but fuck, I don't. I know John Mulaney. Like, if John Mulaney was walking down our street and I saw him, he would say, hi, Bert. And they go, would he say, hi, Bert? Or would he go, oh, hi, and keep walking? And I go, well,
damn, they had it like that on you?
Dude, they are fucking brutal to me right now. Brutal. Like, legit brutal.
You should ask D'Elia to just record a message and send it to you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Bert, just checking in. No. I'm a big fan. And just be like, see, he does know me.
You know, I told you this a long time ago. D'Elia, when he was on Vine, he would do this thing where he goes, so cute, or whatever.
Yeah.
And Georgia and her friends were doing it. They were in, like, fucking 6th grade, and they were quoting D'Elia.
Yeah, he created like his own lexicon.
I mean, it's bizarre when you think about it. Like, but, and Georgia was doing it the other day. His special was out. She was watching videos of him laughing hysterically on her phone.
Why don't you have ask Chris to do a message to them? Like, hey, girls, your dad asked me to say I'm friends with him, And I hope you're doing well in your quarantine. Have him do one of those.
No.
I'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Oh. Yeah, they're brutal. They're calling me fetus right now.
Fetus?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
It's a derivation of a nickname. So like
Bertus?
No. Isla, for whatever reason, has never called me dad. She just has always had a nickname for me. She'll call me dad if I need big boy.
We might have to take a break here.
Why?
I got a shit pretty badly.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We'll just go and I'll listen to you.
From here?
Wait, hold on. We're talking about me right now. This whole episode's dedicated to you and learning about you.
Yeah, yeah, but see, you took it over again.
How did I do that?
You just do it.
You really have to go shit?
I do. I think we should take a break.
Okay, I'll sing.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcast.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
You guys want to hear Drake songs? Post some Drake lyrics. By the way, Drake's like a legit deal.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Tom's shitting. In this time, I want to tell you to go to Netflix, watch Hey Big Boy and Ball Hog streaming right now, along with No Pain. That is Chris D'Elia's special. Now, what we did about 9 months ago is the three of us realized we were all doing Netflix specials. And we decided that we would write one joke between the three of us. I would tell the setup because I knew mine was coming out first. Tom was going to do the meat of the joke, which is the ultimate story, the arc of the joke. And then D'Elia in his special was going to do the punchline. It was touch and go. They had to push D'Elia's back a couple weeks. We initially thought it was going to be me, Tom, then D'Elia, week. And so we were like, we thought it was going to be perfect. It pushed back a little bit. So if you get the opportunity, there you go. If you get the opportunity, go back and watch all three specials and see if you can find the setup, the meat of the joke, and the punchline. It's really fun. We've planned it. It's not perfect, obviously. And if you get an opportunity and you can edit them together. So even if they suck, even if you get it wrong, I think we'd enjoy it. But what you think my setup is, Tom's meat, and then D'Elia's punchline. It's fucking hilarious. We thought of it in the backstage of the Comedy Store, and we couldn't stop laughing about it. And we were fighting over who would tell the joke, and then Tom was the one that was like, why don't we just each tell a part of it, put it in our special, and then that'll be like an Easter egg, like a fun thing for fans. So see if you can find it. All I can tell you is the trifecta is complete. Did you get that? By the way, my mom called today, and my mom was this close. And there was a dude online on my Instagram who was like, said, is it this? And I went, you're getting warm. It's not it, but you're getting warm. So, Tom shitting. We'll be right back. All right, back to you. What, was that shit aggressive?
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had that was too rich what I ate, and then I've just been dumping.
What did you eat?
I had that breakfast wrap.
Breakfast burrito.
And the worst part is I'm so used to shitting with my washlet, you know, bidet at home.
Oh, yeah.
That cleanup. When you're not home, you feel like a monster. And it's just like...
It's just like spreading shit all over your ass.
Yeah, and so I'm just like soaking toilet paper.
Can you believe in the Middle East, they just use their finger, they don't use toilet paper?
Well, these fucking knuckleheads next door are from that area, and they cause the toilet to break.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I would watch a whole documentary on shitting.
I'd produce it.
I think we know our next project.
Yeah.
Like if they just said, everyone shit, that's what I think that's the name of a kid's book.
Yeah.
We all shit, but we all shit in different ways. And today we're going to spend 1 hour talking about shitting and try to get to the base. Because I think we've learned a lot about shitting.
Yeah.
Like squatty potties is technically assigning Asian culture to our shitting.
Well, yeah. I mean, you realize that everywhere in the world where we look at it, usually an American will see someone in a full squat and be like, God, you fucking savage. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But then you realize that's how, A, your body is designed to shit.
Yeah.
And B, it's a much cleaner experience. You know, in that full squat and your ass just spreads wide open, it just falls out of you.
I don't know if I can't shit like just saddled, like where your feet are touching the ground, not on a squatty potty.
You have to have the squatty potty?
I have to have a squatty potty, or I even sometimes I'll like if I'm in the airport, I would put my bag underneath my feet because I needed it with my feet up. I feel like my ass cheeks are spread better.
Yeah, they are.
And then
do you ever do a squatty potty with diarrhea? I've never thought about.
Oh yeah,
and it.
I only have diarrhea,
and it just comes out like,
it's like, dude. I when I shit, it's almost like, it's all built, and then I just go, blah, like it, and it
every time.
Every time. I don't ever. I haven't taken like a nice long like where it crept out. You know, like
yeah,
like it was like, hey,
dude. One time I remember I just had a flashback to high school. Where I went into the stall, and I went into the stall, and I shut it, and I felt like, you know, when you can feel a massive, massive diarrhea.
Yes.
Like you can just feel the pool of water sitting there. Like I know as soon as I pull the trigger, this is going to be just disastrous.
Yeah.
And I need to go, so I'm like about to go, and my friend walks in the bathroom. I think he sees my shoes or something. He's like, Segura. And I was like, oh, what's up, man? And so I go, just hold it. Because if I go right now, he's just going to turn around.
Yeah.
So I just like, I'm fucking like sweating, almost crying because I'm holding it. I'm sitting on the toilet. My body's like, the fuck are you doing? Let it go.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I got it. So he's like, he's taking his time. Like, he's like, oh, man, he's just like talking shit about it. And he's got like a newspaper or something with him. And he drops his pants, and I'm like, come on, man. I want him to get comfortable so that he's like tied to staying. And I'm like, yeah, did you see so-and-so? And he's like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, man. And he drops the pants, and he sits down. And he's like, ah. And then he's like settling in. I'm like, yeah, so I don't know if you heard about it. And I just let it go like that. And he goes, what the fuck? And I just see him pull his pants up, and he walks out. I go, do you have shit hanging out? He's like, nah, man, I was trying to get comfortable. It's just like,
I was trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, he was like gonna take his time, have like a casual shit, you know, like sit for a few minutes, let it build up. But I don't know, I'd love ruining someone's experience like that, you know.
What was the worst shit your pants story? Do you want me to tell mine while you think? Because I have 100 of them.
You have 100 shit your pants?
Dude, stores? I've shit my pants so much. I've shit my pants so much. This is a joke I once tried to slide into this last special, but it never worked. I shit my pants so often that if I'm at a green light, if I'm in a red light, it turns green and the guy behind me honks, I assume he's got to shit his pants. Does that make sense?
If
I'm at a red light, and it turns green, and the second it turns green, and you hear the guy behind me go, go, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's about to shit his pants, because uh-huh, I've done that so much.
Really?
I've been like where I'm driving home to shit my pants, like, let's go, fucking come on, green light.
I'm trying to think of the last time I shit my boxers in the kitchen of our house, like three houses ago, because we were on that green, all green smoothie stuff.
Oh, those don't count.
Well, I know, but I was like waiting, and I just like, oh, I got a fart. Just water fell out of me. But I'm trying to think of like the late, like the lat.
I shit my pants the other day on a doing an Instagram story.
What?
I almost posted it, and then I was like, I don't think people need to see that.
What happened?
I was just talking, and I was like, hey, guys, I don't know. Oh, I just shit my pants. I'll say that a lot. Like, I just shit my pants. Like, I just, a lot. I've shit the bed. I've done everything.
You've shit the bed?
I've shit the bed where I was just laying naked, and I just thought it was a fart, and then I shit the bed. And I'm like, not shit. Not like a full shit in the bed, but like a squirt where you're like, I got to change the sheets and never tell anyone about this.
Did you?
I never told Deanna. I just changed the sheets, and she'd be like, hold on. Why do we have new sheets on the bed? And you're like, oh, I don't know. Dogs. Allergies. Worst I ever shit my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say fifth grade, sixth grade, tennis camp. Have I told you this story?
Tennis camp, sixth grade, no.
I'm playing an Indian kid. I was in love with his sister. I wish I could remember
Wait,
his
you're
name.
Pretending to be an Indian kid?
No, I'm playing. We're playing a tennis match against an Indian kid. He was horrible, but his sister was good, very sexy. I've always been into Indian chicks. I don't know why. And so.
You can still be.
And I can't because I'm married to Leanne, but I would like to be.
Well, she's part Indian.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah. We learned this, that.
We're dancing right now.
Yeah.
And so I've got a shit before the tennis match, and I'm like, I should probably go take a shit right now. I got to take a shit. And then as I stand up to shit, kid walks up, and he's like, are you ready? And I was like, yeah. So we go to start playing, and in our first set, I've got a shit so bad, but I'm winning, and I'm like, fuck. But I can't beat him quick enough to shit my pants, to like go take a shit. So I go, all right, fuck it. I literally give up. I'm like, I'm just going to let him beat me. Like, let him beat me so that we can break sets where we would switch, and I'm just going to go shit. Take a shit real quick. Yeah. I give up. I'm like, whatever. And he's like, are you even trying? I was like, I've got to go to the bathroom. And now I just dart off the thing. I'm like fifth grade, sixth grade. I go to the men's locker room, and as I drop my pants to go shit in the toilet, it starts coming out. And I shit half in my pants, half on the seat, none in the toilet.
Ugh.
And I sit in it.
Ugh.
And there's shit everywhere, Tom. It's in my socks. It's on my it's in my wristband. It's on my tennis glove. Like, yeah. It's everywhere. There is shit fucking everywhere.
Ugh.
On my shirt, on the tail of my shirt, in my pants, in my underwear. So I'm like, fuck. So I don't know what to do. I'm covered in shit. Like, not just a little shit. I am covered in shit. So I get up. I leave. I take everything off. I leave it there. Shoes. I take everything off. I go naked into the shower and I rinse off. Right. And then I come back and I assess the situation. I was like, these pants aren't salvageable. The underwear is not salvageable. The shirt's not even salvageable. The only thing I can save is my tennis glove and my shoes. That's out of all the things I have. Are my shoes and my tennis gloves. The socks are a fucking wash. The pants, everything is fucking covered in shit. So I start jiggling. I'm naked. I start jiggling lockers in the men's locker room. And one's open. And I find a pair of pants and a shirt in there. And I take them.
What?
I put a pair of men's pants. I don't have any clothes, man. They're covered in shit. I put a pair of men's pants on and a man's shirt. It smells like cologne. I then go back into the thing. I do the best cleanup job I can. I'm gagging like crazy. I put my shoes on, no socks. I go out and finish the tennis match. Tennis glove, man's shirt, man's pants, my shoes, no socks. I'm like a mess. I'm like really holding it together, going like, I'm about to cry the whole time.
Did he say like, what's up with the new gear?
He didn't say anything. He just goes, are you ready to play? And I was like, yeah, let's play.
Wait, how'd he say it?
He said, are you ready to play? And I said, you get a hurt real bad, he said.
Uh-huh.
I get done the game. I am literally, and by the way, I'm not built for this. The guy you know right now is created based off these life experiences.
Yeah.
I was a softer kid then. Mm-hmm. So I am like a mess. I'm holding back tears the entire time.
Dude.
I'm waiting for my mom to pick me up. I'm really upset. By the way, I'm not wearing underwear. That is a big deal for me at the time because I was a hardcore tidy whities guy. Mm-hmm. I am not wearing underwear. I feel very uncomfortable. I'm a tactile guy. I have tactile issues. I'm not wearing socks. I always wear socks with shoes. Mm-hmm. I never not wear socks with shoes.
Yeah.
I'm in a man's clothes. I'm waiting for the guy to come out of the fucking locker room and go, did you steal my fucking clothes? I just want to get the fuck out of there. My mom pulls up. I get in the car. Finally, I'm relaxed. I start crying and she just didn't even notice. She goes, how was your day? And I'm like, I'm in a fucking outfit. I didn't show up here.
Yeah.
You're not going to go wear your socks or how come you're.
I think we got to the root of why you're a comedian today.
Dude, I have, for that story, I have 100. I talked to my dad on this podcast the other day. I said to him, so my real personality before my dad kind of tried to shake it out of me was second grade, first grade, I was on my softball, my baseball team, playing second base. Fly ball hit to me, bases loaded. I catch the fly ball, right?
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
first like play I've ever made in my life. Everyone in the stands cheers. I spike the ball, rip off my shirt, and I start dancing. Mm-hmm. I'm in first grade, and the place is going nuts. I mean, it must be really – by the way, I'm not doing it for other anything other than give the people what they want. That's where my brain is. I swear to God. I called my dad yesterday and because I was talking to this therapist and I was like, and they were like, what did your dad say? I go, you know, I really don't remember. I know he was a little embarrassed, but I don't remember. I go, hey dad, what did you say? What did you think when your son in first grade ripped his shirt off and started dancing, spiked the baseball and started dancing? And he goes, I was fucking shocked. And I was like, he's like, I did not raise you like that. And I remember getting in the car with him, just looking at me. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I just was like, it's what the people wanted. Like, I'm in first fucking grade. So I think there's a list of things like that in my life where I just was a different human being.
Yeah.
But wait, why did you become a comedian then? Like, what was your thing?
I was thinking more. My mom was talking about you
the whole fucking ride in today.
What about?
She's like, Tom's so fucking interesting. She goes, I get you and D'Elia, but like, Tom makes me laugh, but he doesn't seem like someone who cares if I laugh.
Huh? I don't know. I mean, I get it. You guys probably have more likable personalities.
No, I think that we're more like you can see us want you to like us.
Oh.
You're like, why do you think you became a comedian? Do you have any like trauma as a kid where you're like, and then that's how I decided to fix it?
No, I think a lot of it is that I think that they were kind of checked out on a lot of things, my folks. Like, didn't pick up on things. So I think a lot of it is like, you know, it became the place where you can say things and like get, you know, either fired up about it, make a point about something, you know, and actually, all right, all these people are paying attention. I don't think they weren't bad parents. They just were like, I feel like they just missed a lot of stuff.
Were your parents? Did your parents party with other parents?
No, they weren't partiers. I just feel like they were more like, how's it going? And you're like, good. And they're like, good. And you're like, you know, they're not. You have to volunteer something for it to.
Like, really, if you wanted attention, you needed to reach out for it.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I think so.
Do you think your dad had PTSD?
I think so. I think a version of, I think a, we never thought he did, but I, looking back on it as an adult now, I think so. Yeah. I think almost everybody does. Even the people that go like, oh, I didn't. I'm like, yeah, I think you do.
I think it's
too horrific a thing for a human being to experience.
And do you think your mom always felt like an outsider?
100%.
Really?
100%.
And so do you think like now, like as an adult, do you think your mom was always like striving to integrate herself into American culture?
Kind of. You know, with her, you see like such a personality switch when she's with Latin people or speaking Spanish.
Really?
She becomes herself.
We talk about that on our episode of my Netflix series.
Yeah.
It's in the show, and you say your mom is a storyteller. Like, your mom is a personality,
she's
but
really
that is
funny.
It's only when it's her culture, like in a weird
kind
way.
Of.
Like
you can get her in English and like the right environment and the right day and just comfortable, and she would entertain you if you were talking to her, but like in Spanish you see her really come alive. The real thing is like if you spend a lot of time with her in America and then you go with her to like a Latin country, you're like, oh my God, where is this person?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I think a part of it's coming over at like, you know, 30, 33 or something.
Wait, how was your mom when she started having kids? 33?
Yeah, I think 33 or 34 for
really?
My older sister. Yeah.
And so did you ever talk to your other sisters about like your parents? Like did they feel like they needed to reach out and get attention?
Yeah, and they did through their behavior. Yeah. Yeah. I think I kept it in more, you know? But the desire for the attention, they were more like acting out.
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS 24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening, any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who is a true expert that can help guide you along the way so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
So why do you like, what is it about? When was the last time you lost control?
Lost control?
Like, where, because you are one of my most measured friends.
I mean, like, lost my temper?
No, just lost control where you were like, no, not even temper, but just you're like, fuck it, spring break. Ah.
Oh, I do the thing. I think it's still about once a year where I drink way too much. And
I've never even been there.
No, you've never been there for it.
Why wouldn't you do that with me?
I don't know. I mean, we can.
That's like one of my favorite things.
I think it's because it's not planned. It's not planned. That's why.
When was the last time you got way too drunk?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I just know that what'll happen is this. Like, now, usually if I'm drinking, it's not that much. And if I go, you know, I feel like there's been weeks, like on the last tour, there had to have been a night where the shows are over for the week and it's been week after week. And you start with booze, right? That's the only danger for me. Because, like, beers, I'm like, whatever. Wine, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm drinking bourbon and... Usually, like, after a certain couple, you're like, oh, I feel it, and I have to get up for this flight or whatever. But there's been a couple times where I'm like, yeah, fuck it. And, like, yeah, I always end up feeling like dog shit, blacking out part of the night.
Blacking out?
Yeah.
And you just talk shit? I've never seen this. Let's schedule a time.
Very fearful of what my blackout. Because, like, I remember, like, one time spring break. I was with Chuck and we went to like Myrtle Beach and we got Everclear and Gatorade, you know. And I blacked out at like 11 and we were out till 4.
Are
so
you
I woke
serious?
Up the next day and I was just like, like, you know, just like the panic.
Gotta kill a man.
Yeah.
Is there hair under my nails?
I did it here also in LA at like 23.
Yeah.
Where, dude. I also woke up and I was like, what the fuck happened?
Can we do a web, like we do the web series? Like, can we do one webisode of you getting blackout drunk?
It's not going to be good.
Why? I'll get blackout drunk with you.
You don't get blackout drunk.
I gray out.
We would have to fucking get an IV of booze into you.
I would probably need to do something a little more. No, I just haven't.
You could do it rectally because that could cause alcohol poisoning. We could do that.
I haven't. I'm probably a super lightweight right now. I haven't drank in 30 days.
20, but
25 days.
Yeah.
Technically, it's really probably.
Oh, you'll like this one.
What?
I'm an intern at Copelson Entertainment, and I'm going out with some of the staff there. I just started doing stand up. And I don't bring him to a show, but we're all hanging out. We're going to a couple bars, and we end up at Miyagi's on Sunset.
I know Miyagi's.
Yeah.
How do I know Miyagi's?
It was across the street from Dublin's.
Oh, yeah, I remember Miyagi's.
So we're there with a group of people, and I'm a few deep on, like, booze and tequila and shit, and I'm holding court and talking shit. People
That's so not you, though.
I know. And I'm talking shit. People are laughing, and I got this. I got vague memories of it, but someone else had to tell me. They're like, so we're all sitting around and you're talking, and then in the middle, he's like, you're notably drunk. You just puke, like, in front of everybody. Like, just stand there and you, like, projectile vomit. And then, you know, like, when you're done puking, you spit. Like, you know. The,
yeah.
He's like, you're done puking, you spit. And, like, kind of... clear it, and then you kind of stand back up and you keep telling your story to everybody. Everyone was like, whoa. And so I go into work on Monday. That was Saturday night. I go into work on Monday, and like five of the people that I work with were there. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, good to see you guys. And they're like, good to see you.
What in the fuck?
Yeah.
How come that? Why? How do you... Like, that would scare me if I knew that I could get there and I wouldn't remember it. Like, I would be like, I got to measure my alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not the reason I don't drink that much. I just, you know, the older I've gotten, usually if I have a few drinks, I'm talking like of real drinks.
Yeah.
And not anywhere close to drunk, I'll wake up the next day and be like, fuck, man, I don't feel like I can do anything today. So
I was in the shower and I was trying to defend me drinking with Joe as a day not drinking, and the reason I can defend it is that I didn't cut loose. Like, I had two drinks,
yeah,
which is what a regular person does. But I gotta be honest with you, I felt like the whole time I was just in the starter's box. Like, I was just down in the starter's box looking at the race going, when are we gonna let go of this? And that's the problem I have, is that I want to, like, I don't want to be in the starter's box. Like, if we go to have dinner and you all have a glass of wine, that's starter blocks. Like, I want to race. I want to run. I'm a fucking stallion. I want to feel free. I don't want to drive. Like, I could never. The reason I don't drink and drive is because I don't want to measure my alcohol and go, actually, I got to stop. I got to drive. I need an hour to not. Like, I just go, no, I just take an Uber and then let's fucking cut loose.
Yeah. Your brain's different.
My brain's really different. I like to run. I'm like a dolphin. If you think about it, I'm truly like a dolphin. I'm probably have more.
If I think about it, you really are truly like a dolphin.
100%.
Which is, why is that?
Is that I'm beautiful to watch. Like, I'm just pure joy.
Yep.
I like to get in front of boats. I like to jump out of the water. I like to do flips. Not a lot of points to, like, what I do. You could probably argue, like, is any of this, like, purposeful? Like, what is the point of this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's beautiful.
You'll like this one. You can ask Chuck this one. This is a scarier one.
Is he still in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So when we went to Myrtle Beach, it was like junior year.
I want you to slow the story down.
Yeah.
I want to know what car you drove in. I want to know what you were wearing. Were you wearing the Nike slides with gym shorts and a cutoff Miami Dolphins sleeveless shirt that you would cut the sleeves off yourself?
No, it's probably like a button-down, like, Stussy.
What?
Yeah, and then jeans and, like, I don't know, maybe boat shoes or something. I think it's freshman or sophomore year of college.
So you, like, dressed up. You didn't go to the beach to, like, look like... See, I'm in that...
Different years of college, I dressed differently.
I have, like, a vision of you dressed as, like, an offensive lineman, like sleeve, like the sleeves cut off your shirt, cut down to here.
Oh.
Chuck's got his shirt off with a straw fedora with beer caps all around the edge with a python around his neck.
Like, now we're in his 95 Mustang GT. He drove. I remember that. I remember we didn't have a hotel, and we're driving around a residential neighborhood and we got pulled over and like we have weed and booze and everything. We're underage and we got out of that. And then we went to the beach and slept on the beach and then the cops kicked us out of there. And then we got a hotel and then we did that Everclear Gatorade thing.
Yeah.
And I completely blacked out. And then the next morning, I was like, something happened last night. He was like, dude.
Wait, what did he say? What did you do?
Well, Chuck is 6'5", and he at the time, he was probably 265, a big dude.
Yeah.
He's like, you're lucky I was with you. Because I guess I was like just, you know, super fucked up. We went to some club, and I was like, you know what you should do, man? You should like grab a girl's ass and then kick the dude that she's with.
Wait, is there a nickname for this guy? Isn't 10 milligrams homie.
No. So he was like, oh, it's hilarious. And he's like, but then you start doing it. So then like a girl would come by and you'd grab her ass and you'd kick the guy. And then they were like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, what? And he told me that he was like, yeah, man. So a couple guys definitely wanted to fuck you up.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What was your nickname for that guy when he'd show up?
For this guy?
Yeah, but like, did you have a character that...
No,
like,
I didn't.
Tom just showed up?
No. T-Buns, I guess. I don't know. It was like... I don't know. I just never wanted to get like that fucked up again.
Oh, I love when I get that fucked up.
Really?
Yeah, I love when...
One
of my favorite things in the world in college was being like waking up and being like, how did I get home last night?
I will say this. You're a really good drunk. That's a horrible feeling. I'm actually, as bad as that sounds, I'm actually like a really lovable, I tell people like all positive shit when I'm drunk.
See, I want to see you dangerous. Like when you're like, let's kick that guy in the leg. Because that would make me laugh hard as fuck.
Can we get security?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a fun one. We should hire like Navy SEALs.
Oh my God.
And then just go around and I'll be like, sup, bitch? Like all drunk and see what happens.
That is a brilliant idea.
You want to videotape
it? That is a brilliant. What we need to do. We should call it. Let's think of the right term. But it's like when you're a diplomat.
Oh yeah.
Diplomatically drunk, and where mm-hmm. you can't get in trouble because you have
diplomatic immunity,
yeah. and we have like 9 cage fighters around us, and we get to go up to guys bigger than us and just test them a little bit. And then the cage fighters will be like, hey, man, calm the fuck down. And he's like, oh, my God, Uriah Faber? I'm so sorry. I'm such a big fan. You know this guy? And he's like, yeah, we're getting paid pretty heavily to make sure that he didn't get killed tonight.
It's pretty funny, too, to talk shit to somebody who's like, hey, I'm just trying to have a good night. And I'm like, well, you fucked up coming here tonight. So,
hey, man, are you going to stand up and sit there like a bitch? And he's like,
what's your swishy ass looking at right now?
It's like the Diaz brothers are staring pretty aggressive at me. And yeah. We're like, Nate, go up and smack him. He's like, I'm not touching him, Bert. This is all you tonight. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you.
And just go up and be like, I'm putting my fingers in your mouth, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
It could turn.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah.
If you could do that for bachelor parties, like you'd be like, hey, man, we got you a bachelor party. You're like, do you get strippers? You're like, no, we got cage fighters. And you're like, what? And like, you get to take these cage fighters out with you tonight. We're not getting in any trouble. They're going to squash it all before it starts.
Yeah, it'd be perfect, man. Basically, you can provoke somebody into fighting, but then the fight will never happen.
Fight will never happen because the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know it was Boss Rutan. I'm so sorry. And Boss is like, hey, man, just sit down, okay?
Yeah.
Is that a good boss? Boss Rutan probably has one story that I think over and over and over again.
Watch that, the clips of his open-handed slap. It's the fucking...
No.
He did this thing where...
I would love
when
to see
he was
it.
Kickboxing, he would do an open palm slap to like your ear. And it wasn't forbidden. And it would just distort and hurt them enough that then that his next move, they were never really prepared for. And he would just devastate them with this open... You can probably pull it up. Boss Rutan, his open hand slap. It's fucking... Oh my God, it looks like the worst thing. And then he obviously kicks so fucking hard, man.
Backhands Frank Shamrock. God, man. You know, do you think that cage fighter, by the way, I'm the last person that should be talking about anything MMA. Pancreas?
Right. See, no closed fist to the head in this thing, but you can do palm strikes and slaps, and he's just, He's mastered it, man.
Does it seem like back in the day, like during this time, that like these guys just... Oh, my God. Is that Frank Shamrock?
Yeah, it is.
It's a young Frank Shamrock.
Yeah.
God, man, he's got a great fucking body. Whoa.
Yeah, he just got like the... But if you get his open palm strikes...
Boss Rutan is a fucking savage, dude.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the way I love him telling stories, the way he tells a story is so matter of fact.
Who, Boss?
Boss Rutan. Every time he tells a story, he goes like, did you ever hear the story about the time the guy that got the cue ball stuck in his mouth?
The time he got a cue ball?
They bet a fucking dude he couldn't get a cue ball in his mouth.
He did?
Boz Rutan bet a guy that he couldn't get a cue ball in his mouth, mm-hmm. knowing full well you can get it in, you just can't get it out. And he's like, yeah, and then we had to break some of his teeth out and get the cue ball out, you know? It's really hard to get a cue ball out. Like, the way he says it's so... Like, if you told me you're going to have to break my teeth out to get a cue ball, I'd be like, huh? And he's like, nope, now we're going to break some of the teeth out because that's the only way to get a tooth out.
You would be the guy to have a cue ball stuck in your mouth? And I have to explain it to your wife. He said he could do it, and then they shoved it in there, and then... What's it? Okay, we're going to do the palm strike here?
What is this?
I don't know.
So, okay, who, like...
This is going to be a lot of him teaching it.
Do you think...
You don't have, like, some compilation of him doing it?
Not to trash talk... current MMA fighters.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of great ones now. But don't you think there was like something a little more heroic about that first round of cage fighters, like the Tank Abbotts and the Frank Shamrocks?
Well, it was more brutal.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was more, there was less rules.
Like, it was almost like there was only like five pillars of like Hoist Gracie. Like though, it seemed like there was only a few of them. Now it seems like it rotates so quickly that guys come in and out of the system.
Well, don't
so
you remember
quickly.
Though those early days? Though they would like it would just be just covered in blood, and they would just be rolling around in blood. And there was
I do remember those.
I think they were like striking to the back of the head, and they were just like, "Let it happen." I mean, that was.
It's amazing how much we knew about MMA without knowing anything about MMA, only because we had the chip in our box, so we could watch pay per view anytime we wanted in college, and we would just watch. I mean, that would be our pre party. Of going out Friday, Saturday night.
Really?
Was you just watch all the fights on repeat on the chip. And we just sit there. And I remember the first time I heard
about...
You
were watching that in college?
In college, yeah.
Really?
I remember watching Hoist Gracie in college. Had to be 1996, 97. I remember watching Hoist Gracie and being blown away that a little guy could take a big guy. That was like mind-changing. I remember we watching those fights and then going out to bars and just being so fucking physically aggressive because we had watched so many of those fights.
You know what that's called? Priming.
That happened to me
one time where I watched a bunch of fights and I was at a job and I just kept watching fight. And then they were just like, hey, you know, guests aren't supposed to be on the eighth floor of this building. And then someone was like, there's someone on the eighth. And I was like, I'm going to go talk to him right now. And I got up and I just started barking in this dude's face. And he was like, what the fuck, man? Like, told me to calm down. And I was like, no. And it was all from watching, just getting those in my head, like ready to fucking throw down.
Dude, I remember getting afraid. Like, I want to say that there was.
Is that one? Open what? Hand strike? Or is that somebody else?
That's someone else.
Oh, but look at that fucking monster. Who's
that
guy?
Who is that? Jesus Christ, man. Is
this
real?
That doesn't even look like a real person.
No, this is like WWE shit.
No, right? This has got to be WWE. No, he's kicking hard. Yeah.
I don't know. This looks ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't look real.
This is pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's wrestling.
By the way, we're both like two fucking country bumpkins in the back of a garage watching pro wrestling going, now that looks real.
No, that looks like bullshit. All right.
How long do you think it would take us to kill Boss Rutan in a hotel room if he was passed out?
If he was passed out?
Like, but just drunk, right? So like he's had a lot to drink and he's asleep in a bed and that's our jump start.
The mission is kill him?
We need to kill him. And so like, but we can't like... Here's the key, right?
Okay.
Everything, it's a cheap hotel room, mm-hmm. so everything's glued to everything. So you can't lift the thing. You got to, me and you with our bare hands, got to try to kill just a sleeping Boss Rutan.
Wait, is he just sleeping or
he's been drinking.
How
so he's
much?
Passed out. He's pretty wasted.
I mean, we just have to try to suffocate him, I guess.
You think, hold on one second.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think very quietly you'd go, we're going to put a pillow over his head. And I go, you're out of your fucking mind. Stand on the bed and kick him in the fucking head. And you're like, that'll just wake him up.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, can we pick the phone up or no?
Can't pick the phone up.
What about the dresser?
Me and you can lift the dresser.
Okay, so I would be like, let's pick up the dresser, go over his head, throw it down on his head, kick the dresser off, and then I'll hold it down with a pillow.
And then all of a sudden, me and you are lifting up the dresser. He wakes up. We're like, hi, sir. We're just taking the dresser out.
He's like, what's he doing? I'm like, we got new dressers. Trying to switch it out now.
I'm amazed at like the type of men that are out there.
What do you mean?
Like the type of men that are out there. Like just the type of men.
I would love to see you fight Boss Rutan.
Think about, let's categorize men. Are you ready?
Okay.
Let's start with physical men. There are men out there.
Gaddafi. What?
No, there are men out there that their safety is not paramount.
What do you mean? Their safety is not
paramount. Like for me and you, our safety is number one. Like we're not going to do stuff. Like if I said, hey man, let's go out and surf these big waves. And we'll do toe-in surfing. Let's see if we can do it. You'd be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to die. But there are people that go, oh, no, let me get a shot of that.
Yeah.
Like Laird Hamilton goes, I'm in. And then,
yeah.
I mean, dude, I saw him paddleboard into Tiapu. Tiapu is like the biggest, thickest wave in the world. People have a hard time just surfing into it. A lot of people tow into it. He paddleboarded into it, like a paddleboard.
And then surfed it.
Dude, type in Laird Hamilton paddleboard Tiapu. It's not the way you spell Tiapu. That's a fucking Thai hooker pronunciation.
All right, let's see. I want to see how he searches. It makes me so angry.
Tia, that's Aunt Poo, just so you know. You wrote Tia Poo.
Okay. Hold on. Erase that whole thing. Got Laird Hamilton. L-A-I-R-D.
No. Let him try to guess how to spell Laird.
He's so angry.
Laird Hamilton. Yep. Okay. Not biggest wave. They're going to get a lot. Oh, so for the record, I can tell you the wave right now. That wave on the far right is Tiapu.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I didn't even see that it says Tiapu. That is Tiapu. But type in Laird Hamilton paddleboards Tiapu. See, that's how you spell Tiapu. It's T-E-A. There. It just was at the bottom. Look at this.
Sorry, guys.
So go to video.
Videos.
Stand-up paddleboarding Tiapu. Now, these are fucking dudes that are... Look how thick this fucking wave is. I've watched this video maybe 100 times.
This one?
I've watched this video because...
Where in Hawaii is this?
This is not Hawaii. This is this is Tahiti.
Oh, this is South Pacific.
Yeah,
like,
and this is the thickest wave. Look
what
how
does that thick, mean, the thickest wave?
Wait, you'll see how thick this wave is. So look at this guy just go. So take a look when it gets, you see the sideways, just look at how,
God.
Like, you see that wave's not like a, it's Whoa. Just a, it's a fucking mound of water pouring onto people.
God, that looks fun.
I could never, there's not a part of me that could ever do that. Like,
what
be
do
like,
you mean?
Like, I would never, just the idea of like standing up. Like being able to stand up that quickly, I can't stand up that quickly. Like that's the hardest part about surfing is getting from on your body.
Have you surfed before?
Yeah, but not like the real surfing.
But I mean, don't you think that's just your inexperience though?
Yeah, but look at this fucking guy. Do you think you're willing to risk that?
No, I'm not willing to risk any of this. But
yeah,
I'm
by the way,
saying...
that is even scary at like a 5-foot wave is terrifying to get thrown off of.
Where's Laird in all this
video?
Okay,
watch this.
He's just going to come in on a paddleboard?
On a paddleboard. Dude, that is look at all these guys are trying to paddle, surf regular into it because you got to, be able to get going. Fast forward to it, to Laird. You'll see.
Do you ever think of how fascinating it'll be, like, on a purely genetic study thing to.
Look at him.
Jesus Christ.
on a fucking paddleboard. Look how, look at him going, come on, get the fuck, go, go. Dude, that guy's a different cut of human.
Yeah, for sure he is.
Like, I look at that and I
go. He also will jump out of a helicopter onto a wave.
Yeah, like, I look at all the different types of men and I go, there's a lot of men I couldn't relate to. And then they go, well, stand-up's one of the most scary things in the world. And you're like, not at all. Well, like, I would much rather.
That is, you know, someone's perspective for sure. Subjectively, they go, there's nothing more terrifying than standing in front of a few thousand people alone. That is for some people.
Yeah.
But have you ever thought about what, I mean, again, just scientifically studying the fact that he and Gabby Reese have kids, like that they're both these like specimens, athletes, super athletes.
I mean, amazing.
Like what their kids must, I mean, I know they have multiple kids, but like when their kids become adults, I bet they're all just going to be freaks basically, right? Like yeah, physical no,
what's
freaks.
What's crazy, I just talked to Gabby Reese the other day.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, as a Florida State kid, it was like one, like a highlight. Like I was like, I was so fucking excited. I want to know what her freshman year was like where she lived, like all this, all the weird stuff about going to Florida State. You know what they've done, which I am not good at, which as a parent you go, I'm not really good at. They didn't pressure their kids into anything. They wanted their kids to find their own way.
Yeah, that's great.
Because that's who they were. Their parents didn't pressure them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would not be. Like, if I had kids that had the fucking genetics of Laird Hamilton and Gabby Reese, I'd be like, we're up at 6 in the morning, and we are doing burpees. Starting now, like, we are getting fucking ripped.
They probably already naturally are.
I think their kids, you know, Gabby Reese, which is interesting to me, didn't get into volleyball until, like, her senior year of high school.
Really?
Like she was like, I wasn't even really that good. I was just tall. Yeah. She was like, and I kind of didn't, like, I wasn't really passionate about it until I got into it. And then I was like, oh, okay, I can get into it. Dude, she's a really fascinating person.
What would you guys, podcast?
Podcast on Birdcast. We did a Zoom. Why do I stutter?
What was that
Why
sentence?
Why do I stutter when
what
I talk to you?
What was that sentence?
She and I've watched so many videos of her and fucking Laird.
Yeah.
Of her and Laird. But Jesus, this is coming out wrong. They do this sauna. I'm doing this sauna today where it's an extended sauna at like 135. You do it for an hour. And they do this sauna polar plunge, which I do a version of. And she's like, you should come over and do it. And I was like, oh, I'd love to. And I was so intimidated until I realized I will just bring my best buddy, Tommy.
Where do they live, though?
In Malibu. They have a house in Malibu.
Oh, I thought they lived in Hawaii.
They have a house in Malibu in Hawaii, too.
Oh.
So me and you go. We do some underwater go, like kettlebell runs on the bottom, kettlebell run on the bottom.
Yeah.
Get in the sauna for like at 220 with Laird on a fucking, with some oven mitts and one of these rowing things. We bring Joe. We should bring Joe. And then we'll get to ice plunge.
I love when your sauna fantasies just kind of run and you're like, and then this guy will come. And none of that's going
to
happen.
Hardcore workout. Me and you need to hardcore workout with Laird. That would be a fun day. And then we'll video it and we'll put it on.
Did
online.
You have a crush on Gabby?
Everyone did. Everyone. I worked with her. She didn't remember it.
You did?
I did a pilot with her, yeah.
When?
Probably like 5 years ago.
5 years ago, she doesn't remember it?
No, I was like, do you remember where we went? She's like, is this a trick question? I was like, no. I said, we did a pilot for Loveline. She was like, oh my God. I want to say it was Loveline. Maybe it was the Man Show.
You don't even remember the fucking thing.
I don't really remember the thing. Anyway, but I said, she told me about, it was the first time I ever heard about kombucha. I said, do you party? And she goes, no, but I'll have a kombucha every now and then. And I was like, I'd never heard of kombucha. And I go, what's kombucha? And she goes, there's alcohol in it. And I went, oh, cool. And so the next night I bought like a 6-pack of kombucha.
You started drinking it?
And I was like, I can't catch a buzz from this shit. Like, I got to drink it faster. You know, like when you're just slow rolling it?
Please tell me you're kidding.
I swear to God. And what's even funnier is I said to the lady when I checked out of Gelson's, I said, there's alcohol in there? And she goes, yeah, technically we're supposed to ID you. And I was like, I thought she was saying it because I was older. Like I looked, she's like, technically I got to ID you. I know you're 21.
Yeah.
But she was saying technically because there's such a minuscule amount
that
they technically need to ID.
I've had 20 of these.
I had at least four much. And I didn't feel anything. By the way, I've had the ones with straight up alcohol in it where they say it's a beer and I don't feel those.
Yeah.
But
it's a good sign.
Wait, you feel it? Do you feel it?
I don't know. I don't drink them.
Who?
Let's get fucked up today and go just harass people.
Okay.
You know what we could do? Get some like some booze into me and we'll just go harass people without masks on. We'll just scream at them from the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get an Uber driver, we'll be like, look, we're going to verbally assault some people. You just be cool. Here's an extra 100.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Hey, fuckhead, trying to get AIDS? We just keep driving. Put a mask on. We'll just do that shit.
I like that idea. I would love. I'm curious of when I'll start drinking again.
Mm, what is your guess?
I want to do a big Zoom party call. They said they can do a Zoom with 3,000 people. And I was like, I would love to do that and do like a happy hour with 3,000 people.
We're talking about, we got to have a end of quarantine party.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When do you want to do it?
When the quarantine.
Wait, are you inviting me or are you telling me?
Of course you're invited.
Okay. Like at your, or are you talking about like, what do you, I got into this way too quick. What are you thinking when you say end of quarantine party?
I'm thinking of like throwing a party to celebrate.
At your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, but I mean, we'll really tie one on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe get some little people there. Get some...
like Brad Williams.
Other dwarves.
Some little people there.
Some of your favorite, seven favorites.
So wait, when do you want to do this? I mean, Gavin Newsom, by the way, who will be our president one day,
mm-hmm.
is... Oh, boy, am I getting a lot of texts.
About what?
Just everything. Steve Hofstetter hit me up. When do they say we're going to be out of quarantine? They say that they're going to lock out stay at home is ending in May.
May 15th is the current, but that's a month away. We don't know what's going to happen.
If I don't drink for another month, my liver is back to, it's my manager. My liver is back to normal. Yup.
Says
Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Kind of
said that?
He said it starts rejuvenating itself.
Let me see.
Call Dr. Drew and see when my liver gets back to normal.
Let's get this.
60 days. Oh, shit. I have a conference call at noon.
Oh, that's 30 minutes away. You're good.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Tell him I'm 30 days sober.
Okay.
By the way, we lost 1,000 people.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I'm recording this call. This is Two Bears, One Cave. I'm with Bert Kreischer right now.
Who? Bert, are you with?
Big guy, drinks a lot.
Hey, big boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is between 20 and 30 days sober,
I'm
right?
30, 1 month, 52 minutes, and 27 seconds sober.
He's sober for a month now.
I know just by the timing, he's very serious about it.
Very. He's got an app. He said he understands why AA works.
I do understand, Drew. Literally, last night at 30 days, we lost 1,000 people that all stopped drinking on the same day. 1,000 people started drinking last night. I know, Oof. Right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Even though Bert now understands how AA works, he has no intention of doing it.
No, not doing it.
Okay. No. Okay. He has absolutely no intention of doing it. But
actually, we're trying to figure out when I can start drinking again.
Yeah, he's trying to plan when to start drinking again. I told him that, you know, they extended the stay at home in LA till May 15th. And he's like, if I can go till May 15th, another month, my liver will be completely back to normal. And I was like, okay.
Well, we can't go that without doing some testing.
Okay.
Because he may have fibrosis.
Hey, whoa. Hang up on him. I don't fucking want to hear this.
I'm not saying you have it. You're right that if you just had fatty liver, it should be pretty good in about 2 months.
There you go.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's if you have just fatty liver. But
yeah,
you may
I
have
do.
Some fibrosis in there or something as well, which is not
which,
so good.
Which means what?
Which means the liver started to scar. You know, that's what happens after the inflammation from fatty liver. And that is sort of an irreversible process.
Okay, then, so why
what?
The fuck does anyone call you? You're like Johnny Bad News.
So the point is like maybe he should just extend that sobriety period for a little longer.
Well, if I got fibrosis, then I might as well just fucking start drinking again, right, Drew?
No, wrong, because it can be very, very slow unless you drink. Then it can be very, very fast.
Oh,
great.
So you'd be fine a lifetime with a little fibrosis.
Okay, what about this? What about this?
He feels regular pain in his kidney areas. Is that something to think about?
Stop. I don't even want to know what that sounds like. Drew, I have never had elevated enzymes in my life. on my liver.
That's not a great way to assess the liver. It's if they're high, they tell you something. If they're low, they don't necessarily say anything. So you need like an ultrasound of your liver to know for sure what's going on.
What about MRI or CAT scan of his brain just to see like what kind of, you know, frontal lobe damage?
How much shrinkage lives in? Yeah, an MRI would tell us a lot.
All right, we'll just schedule an MRI. And
hey, guess who just got uninvited to the party, Drew?
but here's the deal. Listen, Bert just told me a couple days ago that it's easy for him now because with the lockdown, there's no fear of missing out.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's easier for him. So just take advantage of the extended lockdown.
Yeah, there I got go. It. But we're talking about throwing a party, which is my FOMO, which I want to drink at.
Yeah.
You're going to have a party while there's a lock quarantine?
No. At the end of quarantine.
Gatherings, you're not going to be allowed more than 10 people for a while.
It's okay. Me and Tom.
All right. We're thinking of getting a couple, you know.
Let's just think about any other ways we can bum Bert out. What else can we do to bum him out?
Tell me touring doesn't start again until fall 21.
Yeah.
No, there will be. There's possibility of things getting better quick in the summer. It's possible. So we'll see.
Give us good news about our curve flattening.
What's good news?
So good news is, you know, that in California, we're doing amazing. We've suppressed this thing like crazy. Therapeutics are really looking very encouraging. My peers are getting lots of interesting improvisations under their belt where they are learning new ways to attack this thing that are really working. It might be a seasonal virus. It might go away during the summer. Vaccines are accelerating. I'm listening to a lecture on the vaccine right now to try to figure out how fast it could come. And you know, the way out is with the social distancing and the masks and the hand washing, all that stuff. And that might be very, very, very effective.
That's cool. And is it true that Persians need to worry more than anybody else?
Who?
Persians?
I'm following, but I'm not getting it.
Oh, I just thought, are they more prone to getting it or no?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Aware.
All right. Just checking. Just checking.
I'm just feathering. Just feathering here.
Just feather it, brother. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for the intel.
Thanks for the good mood.
We're going to try to heal Bert soon. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Drew, what can I take to heal my liver quicker?
Nothing. Fluids and exercise. You know, exercise, you know, just the blood flow through it with exercise is a good idea. That will help.
There you go.
And otherwise, I can't think of any, all that nonsense about milk thistle and all that stuff. Really doesn't do anything. Just kind of... I'm just, you know, sometimes there's something called NAD that I'll look into a little bit for you that maybe, but just don't drink. That's the main thing.
Okay. Great. Right. Awesome.
Okay. So thanks, Drew. Appreciate it.
One time, that
is a fun way to end an episode.
One time I walked into a GNC and I said to the guy, I said, yeah, I'm looking for something to kind of like help heal my liver. And the guy looked at me, he's an Indian guy, and he goes, you need to quit drinking, man. And I went, I'm sorry. And I was like, how do you know that I drink? And he goes, why do you come in a GNC and ask? I need to heal liver. You need to quit drinking, man. That's all. And I went, wait, hold on. You don't have just like a vitamin? He goes, quit drinking. And just went back to the desk. And I went, I told him, I said, you're going to get a hurt a real bad. Am I doing it right?
It's close. That hat is fire. It's not out yet.
People, it's not out yet.
I've never been asked more about
it. Oh, Leanne's going crazy. She's like, all I get are fucking emails about that goddamn hat.
It's going to be May is what we know for sure now.
Yeah.
And it's going to... I think we should actually get together and do like an IG Live to announce that it's in... Because it's going to go immediately.
Okay.
So we should do something like social media-wise.
Let's do an Instagram Live. Have you been doing a lot of Instagram Lives?
Yeah, a few, yeah.
With celebrities?
No.
I did one with David Arquette the other day.
Yeah, fun?
Pretty fun. He goes, he's like, yeah, man. I go, you drinking? And he goes, nah, man, I'm fucking sober. And I said, oh, nice. I go, how long? And he goes, well, like 2 days. But, you know, I was like, oh, that's why I love David Arquette.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do an Instagram Live. And then you want to do a Zoom meeting with 3,000 people?
I'll let you handle that.
And then we're going to have a party at your house?
I think so.
On May...
Let's just see how this develops, but yeah, plan on it.
And then what is... I'm in really great shape right now. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. I'm trying to get herd healthy. That's my new thing.
Herd healthy?
Yeah, because that's what they're talking about, herd immunity,
mm-hmm.
is that they're going to... At one point, they're just going to be like, all right, fuck it. Let's start life back up again, and we're just going to thin out the herd. That's what the... Cool. I mean, type in herd immunity real quick. Because that's like the big thing they're talking about now is going, fuck it, you just Jesus, go back into society.
It's just H-E-R-D.
Oh, my God. Christ. Yeah, Amber Heard immunity. Herd immunity. The resistance to spread of contagious disease with a suddenly high proportion of individuals immune to disease, especially through vaccination. But what they're talking about is just opening up things again and just saying,
who dies?
Fuck it, go out, and it's let's just roll the dice that young people don't die like crazy. By the way, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not certain that's what, that's me barely listening to
Leanne.
Yeah,
because it doesn't really say that there, but but I like it.
But
by the way, I just want to point out
that I listened to Amazing.
No, that we barely got to know me.
Hold on.
You stopped at fucking third grade.
I'm going to start the clock. I'm going to tell you a 1 minute story. If I can do a 1 minute story on Tom, that means I've listened. Okay. Ready, set, go. Tom Segura was born to Forrest Gump and Frida. They lived very early in Cincinnati, where he was born, and then he moved to Minnesota, where he found his love of football and started going to football camps with such stars as Chris Collinsworth and, God, fuck that up, Rich Gannon. Tom then moved down to Florida, where
missed a move.
You moved back to Cincinnati.
Nope.
You moved to Indiana.
Milwaukee? Yeah.
Milwaukee?
Milwaukee was next.
What the fuck did you do in Milwaukee?
I was a fucking kid. I went to school.
And then he moved down to a very multicultural group of friends. Three black dudes, two Indians, an Asian, and they were called the Mathletes. And then him and Charlie went to South Carolina and partied in an IROC and slept on the beach. Tom kicked a dude in the leg, smacked his chick in the ass, and that's where we met what was the name of the drinking Tom? Tommy Buns. Tommy Buns. Tommy's personality. God, that was a minute 12. I feel like I was at fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah, we all did.
All right, guys, here's what I'm going to say.
Let's wrap it up.
My goal in this podcast is to start listening more. I'm not going to change Bertus Interruptus, but I'm going to start listening more. Okay. That's my goal in this podcast.
My goal is to point out how often he doesn't do that.
Okay. That's totally, totally cool. You know what we should do at the end of every episode?
What?
What did we learn about each other?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So you start with me. What did you learn about me?
Why don't we try it on the next episode?
Why?
Oh, okay. what did I learn about you?
I learned today that Tom... I just interrupted you. I can't help it. I learned that Tom needed to fight for his personality, and that is why we got blessed with the guy we have today. A guy who just wants you to notice him, but doesn't want to interrupt you, because he understands that, Dad, Vietnam is a lot harder. Mom, I understand that this American culture is confusing, but I do want you to be heard. I want to be heard.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I learned that you have more health problems than I'm aware of, and that you, the amount of times that you can cite shitting yourself is really alarming. But that you also are a lot of the reasons why you are the way you are is for sure because I don't think that you were actually seen and paid attention to that much, you know, like when you got picked up from tennis camp and you fucking shit all over yourself, and that your drinking really brings out the personality that you want people to see you as, having fun, and you don't want it to ever stop and just keep the party going, let the buzz roll on, and your liver will heal itself for
sure.
There we go.
And I'm 30 days sober.
Unless it's scarring. All right. So that's it for us.
If mine's scarring, yours scarring.
I'm Tom. He's special needs. And we will be back very soon. Watch Hey Big Boy Ball Hog and our friend Chris D'Elia Has No Pain out on Netflix.
And see if you can figure out the joke. We talked about it a little bit.
See if you can tie it together.
Yep. And then if you can, hit us up. And by the way, even if you find it funny and you can edit together the three of our specials into a joke you find funny, hey, hit us up with it. I would love to see the person that can edit the three together and get it right.
That'd be hilarious, great. Yeah. All right. That's it.
That's it. I love you, Tom.
Love you too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No
scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology, dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.